This podcast was recorded at Hartford Street Zen Center, Isanji, in San Francisco. Please help support our temple by making a donation at hscc.org.
Good morning.
Good morning.
During our sitting a few minutes ago, I was actually admiring our precarious position. I don't mean our temple, which is precarious enough. I mean our precarious position as sentient beings. If we're willing to allow ourselves to get pretty quiet, it's a little like standing on the edge of a cliff. And you can't see the bottom. You can't necessarily see another side, and there's a pretty good wind blowing. And then you're standing on one foot. I guess I think that's funny, but I guess you guys don't. I'm sorry.
Might as well just jump in, right?
Well, that's kind of not up to us. The wind will pick us up and toss us when it's good and ready. But for now, we have this interesting feeling. Whoa. Because sitting in stillness, as we're taught, the boundaries of things are provisional. And with the eye of our being, we can actually see an incredible distance. And because of our habits, we're urged again and again to take a seat at the edge of that cliff. And feel the wind. And also, notice that the wind is not other than us. The cliff is not other than us. This is the source of peculiar Zen remarks like the whole universe in 10 directions is the eyeball of the practitioner. And so there's a, you know, a delicate balance. It's kind of funny, it's at once delicate, it's also durable. Sometimes if you've been with someone who is leaving this world, it's kind of amazing how tenacious we can be. Really got a heck of a grip on something. And it takes up quite a while to loosen. So in that sense, it's kind of durable. But also, the thread of our life can snap in an instant. And to live a life that's informed by this, I don't know, truth, I guess, is the joy of practice. To be able to stand on one foot at the edge of the cliff and, kind of exciting, breathtaking. The more we practice, the more we will be familiar with these points of view. And we can come to understand how our ancestor Dogen could insist so often that practice and realization are like, I don't know, two sides of the heart, always beating in synchrony. So why then in Chan or Zen, why is there this kind of obsession with, you know, who has the realization and who doesn't? Other lineages don't obsess about that kind of thing for some reason. So why and how did it become such a big deal in Chan? Well, I'm sure there are lots of reasons, cultural, historical, and so forth, but although that's part of the tradition, we should not be led astray. In some branches of the family, I don't know if they still do this, but they would kind of publicly identify people who had some attainment, which I think is a very peculiar way to proceed myself. Such people would be presented with a raksu. And so in that group, you could always tell who the cool guys and gals are because they have the raksu on. It seems like a terrible mistake to me, but that's just my opinion. Our ancestor Yaoshan was like a lot of our ancestors in that he enjoyed teasing people. So he asked one of his novices, "So is your attainment based on, is that from reading sutras or listening to Dharma talks?" And the novice said, "Well, my attainment is neither through reading sutras nor listening to Dharma talks. So..." Yaoshan scratched his head and said, "But there are lots of people who don't read sutras or listen to Dharma talks. Why haven't they some attainment?" And the novice said, "Well, I don't say they don't have some attainment, but that they are not willing to accept it." Yaoshan was silent. Well, it's not clear whether he approved that or not. But it's a curious statement, isn't it? Why wouldn't we be willing to accept our attainment? Well, maybe one reason we might be reluctant is because it means accepting our place on the edge of the cliff. Which is a pretty stark contrast to maybe the life we've been led to expect for ourselves. After all, if we are standing at the edge of that cliff, I mean, you know, where's the fun in that? What about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Dogen commented on this story, Yaoshan. And so Yaoshan says, is your attainment based on reading sutras or listening to Dharma talks? Dogen brandished his whisk and said, attainment and non-attainment are just here. When the novice said, oh, my attainment's not based on either of those, Dogen says, drinking Jiaozhou's tea before even meeting Jiaozhou and Jiaozhou was famous for inviting people to tea and asking them, so, have you been here before? And whether they said yes or no, Jiaozhou would always give them tea. Whether or not they recognized, as the saying goes, that the soft mud had thorns in it. And Jiaozhou's innocent seeming question, have you been here before? Has an eyeball in it. So Yaoshan says, well, lots of people don't read sutras or hear Dharma talks. How come they don't have an attainment? And Dogen says, all sentient beings have no Buddha nature. And when the novice says, well, I don't say they don't have attainment, just that they're not willing to accept it, Dogen's comment is, all sentient beings have Buddha nature. And in the face of Yaoshan's silence, Dogen says, we need all the emptinesses to smash through existence. But since there's no existence, why do we need the emptinesses? You know there are 18 different kinds of emptiness? That's so clearly another spasm of scholasticism. Not really taking it very seriously, but somebody decided to make a list of 18 different kinds of emptiness. Some of them make no sense at all, at least not to me. The most important one, of course, is the emptiness of emptiness. That's the critical antidote to the poison of thinking emptiness is something. But from our position on the cliff edge, you could say the joy of it is the emptiness. The fact that the eye of practice can see forever in any direction without without let or hindrance. I don't know what that means exactly.
Is that without let?
Yeah. It's a phrase from law, actually. Something, a contract, this shall, blah, 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 without let or hindrance. I don't actually know what that means, but feels right. So maybe we could say that the practice of Zazen is the practice of accepting our attainment without let or hindrance. And letting the subtle joy of standing on one foot at the edge of the cliff creep up on one. As the wind carries us away. Early this morning, the wind carried our friend Jana Draka away. She's been ill for quite a while and had a tough time there because nothing was really set up to look after her, in spite of her many friends and supporters. But finally, a comfortable bed in the hospice was found, so turned out okay. It's almost Halloween, so maybe you won't object to a macabre reminder that I've requested no resuscitation. So, if you have a chance to free me from the clutches of the medical establishment, who might try to keep me alive and say, no, he doesn't want that.
Hope that's in black and white somewhere.
It is. But I should probably do it again.
Put it on your bedroom door.
No, it should be in the freezer. The EMT looks for the freezer.
I was going to have it tattooed on my chest also, but it hurts too much.
That doesn't count.
No, that doesn't work?
No, it's got to be notarized.
Notarized?
Oh. Or signed by two people.
Well, the version that I do have is signed by my doctor and other witnesses and so forth, but that was years and years ago, so I should do it again.
I have a bunch of five wishes forms.
Do you? Is that what this is? Five wishes?
It's something
else. We're talking about advanced directive, aren't we?
I guess. I'm not really clear on the details.
It's pulsed.
Huh?
You're pulsed.
Pulsed?
POLST. It's like what you want done in the hospital.
Oh.
Which should actually be, you know, every detail of like, well, if I have this much consciousness, this is how long I want to, you know, being a company,
right.
You can also talk about that too.
Yeah, the thing that I filled out said, you know, no intubation, no nutrition.
Even if there's a chance that we can get you back?
Yeah. At my age.
Okay. All right. All right.
Even if we can just hydrate you.
I forget if hydration's in there. It might be.
We can reboot you.
Believe me, it's not worth it. Anyway.
Did you specify if you want cremation or whatever, burial?
Nah, I think that wasn't on there, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Back garden.
Toast and toss is fine with me.
Do you want chunky or fine?
I'll leave that to you guys. Okay, so any questions?
The part about, see if I get this right, in Chan, you said that there was this historical thing of announcing publicly what people, well, I don't know if that's exactly what you said, because I can see.
No, there's just a kind of an obsession with who's got it and
who doesn't.
Yeah.
So I was thinking what flashed up were two things. One was the eight worldly concerns, if I'm doing it right, you know, if there could be the danger of someone going, even no matter how good their practice is, I've got it.
Fame and gain.
Mm-hmm. And reputation, but more fame and gain. I mean, it happens to us. And the other was, I started thinking about the sixth patriarch for some reason, and you know, it's like, there was the head monk, and he got pissed off because he didn't get chosen, and he's like chasing, I love that story, chasing the other one through, you know, and then wants to pick up the robe and bowl and can't because it's too heavy.
Was that
tied in for me somehow?
Yeah. No, but I wonder, was that story about... Really, I don't know if that was about the sixth ancestors, about Huineng's attainment, or the fact that he was given the keys to the kingdom by Hongren.
Yeah.
Like he was going to be the guy.
Right.
The abbot. So the power was...
The abbot didn't tell anybody.
Hmm?
The abbot initially didn't tell anybody.
Right.
But then people found out.
So, but again, it wasn't so much about his attainment as I see it, it was kind of like a power struggle.
But in a culture like that, where somebody says, okay, this person has attained something, mm-hmm. or they haven't, by the powers that be, and then somebody finds out who wants that,
right.
It produces this kind of...
Yeah, and so I have been wondering lately, why does Chan get so obsessed about that? And other lineages, millions of Buddhists world round don't obsess about this kind of thing. Kind of interesting. And of course, some Zenists say, well, that's because we, the Zenists, we got it, and those other guys, they don't. Which is utterly stupid. But maybe that's one of the dangers in our lineage, is that people would actually come to believe that. And that would be a serious error. Yes?
This whole business of attainment makes it sound like a milestone.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, if you care to visualize the path, there are milestones, but there's no end to them. There's just milestone after milestone after milestone. So in a way, who cares? It's not like, oh, yeah, I want to get to that milestone. It's like, well, guess what? There's another one beyond that and beyond that. And the whole point was to take all beings with you, remember? Not to get out in front and say, hey, hi there. You better catch up with me. That's not right. So, I'm sure you are all... right now, wholeheartedly accepting your attainment. So, I'm glad of that. Yes?
You mentioned the phrase, soft mud, the sharp...
With thorns.
With thorns. Mm-hmm. And I like that, but I couldn't connect it to anything, so I'm just curious what kind of a...
Well, Zhao Zhou's question So, have you been here before? Looks totally innocent. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I have, or no, I haven't. But by here, he actually meant here, here, mm-hmm. here and now here. That kind of here. Mm-hmm. And sometimes his guest would realize that. Mm-hmm. Other times, no.
Yeah, I just saw you yesterday, remember?
And that's, okay, there were thorns in that soft mud. It looked like soft mud. It
means a loaded question, right?
It's like a loaded question.
Yeah, no, I got that from the rest of the story, but uh-huh. the thorns part, a thorn seems painful, which is, why is there this, it seemed like a negative thing, actually. So.
Yeah, well, this is part of the Chan obsession, okay. right? And at least in that version of things, Zhaozhou didn't whack the person if they didn't pick up on his yeah. real meaning, but other Chanists have been known to do that. So, hence the thorns.
Yeah.
Did you have a question? Yes.
Quite a while ago in the Dharma talk, or you said it a few times, it was kind of about attainment. It was some puzzle that once you solve it, it was like a child's puzzle or some kind of puzzle.
Oh, the nine dot problem?
The nine dot problem.
Yes.
And once you solve it, you can never go back.
Right.
So in terms of kind of like not mind, it's just like figure it out and you took it on to the next.
Mm-hmm.
So really, that stuck with me for a long time.
And our practice is a constant encounter with the nine dot problem and other similar phenomena, which once that change happens, it can't be undone. So this is an important factor. And, you know, sometimes people will look back nostalgically on their time in the monastery, say, and say, that's when I was really practicing then, and now I'm just kind of a nebbish. And, you know, as though that profound change hadn't happened, but it did. And it can't be undone. So that should be a great consolation for us. Once you see the nine dot problem answer, you cannot unsee it. It's quite interesting the way the mind changes that way.
Don't you think these guys were just, you know, competitive? I've noticed, like, with guys, for example, at my work, I'm not competitive with the women, but guys, like, oh, I processed this many grievances. I did, you know, we're competing over, like, complaints that we're processing. I mean, it's just kind of...
A male thing?
Maybe you can, because you're female. But yeah, it just seems like with men, it's always competitive. Who's bigger? Who's got this? So I'm just wondering if it's a bunch of, it's like a boys club of them just like, oh, who's got the attainment? Who's this? You know, it's like, just like, you know, just kind of a...
That's an interesting question.
Girls have high heels and lipstick and, you know, it's like, it's a different kind of competitive.
But there's sunken competition there too?
Yeah.
Would a nunnery compete over who's got the... attainment?
I don't think about it. I've been in this neighborhood a long
time. Or would they be more like inclusive of each other and supportive?
No,
they wouldn't? Okay. No. Okay, well, maybe not.
What about all those 1940 movies, David? Women going
the
after
women.
What they want and gold diggers and...
Okay, so maybe a human thing then.
Maybe it's a human thing.
That's coming out in Chan. That,
yeah.
Greed, hate, and delusion.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to be handing out any roxus to those of you who have attainments, so don't hold your breath for that. I will consider that all of you are accepting your attainment now.
Well, if we had the budget, we would, but we just don't have the budget.
We just don't have the budget. Would you like to do a short Dahishin Dharani for Jhana? Mm-hmm. Only, it's a short service. Well, let's do that then. Thank you all very much.